Hello again and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Scott Fitzsimmons, and in studio today we have got with us Melanie Materi from the Options Pregnancy Center in Regina. Always great to have you here, and it's great to have you here today. How are you doing on this cold winter morning?
Well, it was a good drive here, Scott, and I'm as well as can be expected.
Yeah.
As you know, I had some pretty traumatic things happen within the last few weeks, but I'm good.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. I know that it's got to be tough to move forward on anything after a loss. So we're very appreciative that you're here. But how are things at the center?
Good. It's been actually quiet, which I kind of appreciate because it's really hard to be there for people at this point. But yeah, we've still got some options clients coming in that Janelle is seeing, and you know, abortion-minded people and everything, and life goes on. We still have to be there for them. So,
well, and it's nice to see the growth of Janelle as you've brought her up and given her that opportunity to grow inside her role at Options to fill when needed.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to get some more people involved for the future. So, we were supposed to have some training the week after the fundraising banquet, and so we'll be doing that probably, you know, within the next few months, get some other people trained up. So
now with the fundraiser banquet not moving forward, how is that going to, are you just going to set it aside for this year and aim for next year?
Yeah, we're going to set it aside for the year, and definitely have a financial hiccup because of that. But you know, God will provide, and you know, it was obviously supposed to happen that way. And I had actually told the chairman had called me right away after I had called and said that my husband had passed away, that he said, well, I think we should cancel the banquet because it was going to be in 2 days. And and I said, no, you know, you can go ahead. You know, Janelle will be able to handle it. But I was still, you know, obviously in shock mode and everything. And he said, no, we are definitely canceling, which I actually appreciated because it, you know, my husband meant a lot, and so it was very respectful of him. It definitely honored my husband, so I really appreciated that.
Excellent. Well, we're glad that that you're here again, and if people are wanting to make a donation or help out in some way, even in this time with the center, how can they do that?
They can call Janelle and at 757-1371 at the center. And if they want to donate with a credit card, they can call and give her the number. And or they can go to our website, and there is a donate button on there. So,
wonderful. Well, tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, as hard as it is to talk about, Scott, I really want to tell the story of the night that my husband died, and just the little things that have come up. Well, not little things, big things that have come up as a result of that. Things that I started seeing in myself, and realizing just exactly what it is that we do at the center. That's what I want to talk about. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, the night that my husband died, it was two nights before the fundraising banquet, so that was definitely on my mind. And we had gone to bed quite early, about 9:30 at night, and it was the night of those horrific winds. So I know they were being clocked at about 120 kilometers. And I happened to get up about 20 to 12 that night, and I said to my husband, I'm going to shut the window. It's really loud. I can't sleep. And I just happened to walk out into our living room, and there was this huge wall of fire. We live on a farm, and there was this huge wall of fire across the road. And of course, I took one look at it, and I said, oh my God, there's a fire. And my husband got up and took one look, and he said, grab your stuff. And of course, farmers had been burning stubble and bush piles and everything. And that's, you know, we farm too. That's what you do, right? And nobody was expecting those kinds of winds to come up. And we all know that there can be embers there for weeks, and and later on a wind can come up and it can stir up again. So I ran upstairs and got my stuff, and it's interesting, even the things that you grab when you think your house is going to burn down. Mm-hmm. And you know, threw on a hoodie and some jeans and some flip-flops and grabbed my iPad and my phone and my chargers, of all things. And took another look, and it was getting bigger. Mm. We had called 911. I called 911, and all the lines were busy.
Wow.
And so we called my husband's cousin, who just lives a quarter of a mile away from us, and woke them up and told them to get out of the house. Yeah. You know, there's a fire coming and it's coming fast, and called another neighbor and hopped in the truck and drove out of the yard and was going in the direction that the fire was going. And by this time we could see that the fire was not going to hit our home the home of Lawrence's cousin. But it was definitely headed straight east towards these other people. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't called them. And so we were sitting by his cousin's truck and saying, like, what's their number? None of us could remember their number. And so we drove back to the house, and I ran into the house to call them, and they weren't answering. And I ran out of the house, and my husband had collapsed by the truck. Mm. And his cousin and his wife had driven into the yard not long after. And I yelled at them and said, they were already in the yard. And I yelled at them and said, he's collapsed by the truck. And went over, and Lawrence's cousin's wife has some medical expertise, and she felt for a pulse, and there was no pulse, and she said, we need to start CPR. And so his cousin started CPR right away, and he tired pretty quickly. And I had called 911 and got through this time on my cell phone. Yeah. So the 911 operator was, of course, very professional and very calm, but was yelling out instructions. And so his cousin had my cell phone on speakerphone, and she was yelling out the instructions and everything. So I was now doing CPR on my own husband. And the two RCMP cruisers showed up pretty quick. And that's where I just totally see God in all of this, Scott, because one of them I knew from speaking at a church in Fort Capel. I knew that he was a Christian. Mm. And he just said, Melanie. And honestly, it was as though, like, God is here, mm-hmm. you know? And so they took over doing CPR until the ambulance got there. And they said, when the ambulance got there, they said, is he on any meds? And I said, yes. And I ran into the house to get them. And this RCMP officer followed me in, and I could hear him praying. Mm. As I'm grabbing my husband's meds. So it was like God was totally there trying to comfort, and ran back outside. And I said to the paramedics, I'm going with him. And they said, you'll have to ride in the front. And so I jumped into the front, and we weren't moving. And the one paramedic said, I'm an advanced care paramedic. Anything that can be done at the hospital, I can do here. So they were working on him, and then within a few minutes we're heading down the grid, you know, to Fort Capel, lights and sirens blazing, and got about halfway there, and that paramedic said the words I will never forget, said to the driver, you can downgrade. And I knew in my heart, I looked back, and he said, he's gone. But when we got to the hospital, we have five kids together, and there's one that lives in Medicine Hat, and the rest all live around us. So we were all there spending time with him afterwards. And that same RCMP officer came into the room and prayed with us. So it was so powerful, Scott. But the the fire and the wind that night. There was a 100-year-old pine tree that was in our yard that was in a protected area that just got totally uprooted that night. Mm-hmm. It's still laying there. And so I know God was in all of it. And, you know, you get so many Christians that, oh, just look towards heaven. You know, well, I am. Mm-hmm. But God is here with me in my pain. If anybody knows that you need to move through pain, it's me. but yes, God is there, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And I've said to people, when my dad died, when my son-in-law died, I felt like part of my heart was taken away. But this time, it feels as though it shattered. And the conclusion that I've come to with that is that when we marry a person, God says we become one. So, of course, my heart is going to be shattered right now. Half of me is now gone. But God is totally working through all of this, and I see him in it all. It's joy and pain collide right now. I know I'm going to see Lawrence again, but wow, you know, that's very joyful, but wow, there's a lot of pain there too. So it's like this, it's confusing sometimes because, mm-hmm. you know, it's that joy and pain collide. But I also came to the conclusion that a long time ago, I had just finished, my book had just come out, which I've got here. Mm-hmm. And the proof had come about a week after he had died. Well, that was a very bittersweet moment, mm-hmm. Because we were supposed to be celebrating that together.
Yeah.
And but in the book, I talk about a long time ago, I had called the post-abortive group My Heart Revived CPR.
Mm.
And that CPR now means to me compassion, protection, and restoration. And that's exactly what God is doing with our family right now.
Yeah.
Is helping us through all of this. He's doing CPR on us right now. But it was really interesting that after it had happened, and of course I was feeling as though and I'm sure, you know, there's people listening who have done CPR on a loved one or a stranger, and when it doesn't work, quote unquote, you know, I've got lots of flashbacks and everything back to that night of doing CPR on them with the wind and the fire and everything else. But when it doesn't work, when the person dies, it's like there's this feeling that starts coming over you. I didn't do a good enough job.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice that started replaying in my head was one from being adopted. Now, I know that you don't have to be adopted to have this kind of voice in your head, because there's lots of people out there that have a lot of pain from when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
But the voice that started replaying in my head again was, you weren't enough.
Hmm.
And that I wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough to make this happen. So God has really been working on me through all of that. And I know that many times at the center, I had actually read this, found this article online, and it had talked about what happens when CPR doesn't work. That CPR is not designed to give life. It's designed to keep the person alive enough until help gets there.
Mm.
And it came, and it typically, when you have to do CPR on someone, the person is already dead.
Mm.
So it came to me that that's what we do at the center, is we keep people spiritually alive enough, help them enough, until God can heal them, because we don't heal them, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't bring that person back to life if I'm doing CPR on them. That's God. That is not me.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally came to me that's exactly what happens at the center. So God has been showing me and revealing so many things through all of this. And I am so, so grateful for him. I don't know where I would be in all of this without him.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can't realize that how much he carries us until we're in those moments when we can't carry ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, moving forward, how does this affect what you're doing with the center? Are you still continuing on with your role right now?
Yeah, I started back last Tuesday. And people grieve in different ways, Scott. Some people need to take more time off. Other people, you know, have to go back to work right away. I was lucky enough that I have a board that is very understanding. And obviously in what I do, you know, if I'm supposed to be there for other people, it's pretty hard to be there for other people when I need people to be there for me right now. But I did go back to work last Tuesday, and all the firsts, of course, are very hard, you know, driving out of the yard that first time, and he's not there waving at the window, and poor Janelle, Scott, the first day I cried half the day. So, you know, but, you know, she understands how to be with someone when they're grieving, and you can't love pain out of someone, but you can be there with them as they go through it. And she totally understands that. So I have many people that are very supportive that way. I do plan on starting another grief and loss program at the Rescue Mission. There's some women there that I was just in the midst of. It's an 8-week program that I do there, and I had just done like week number 2 when this happened. And so that will restart in January. It's going to be interesting doing that when I'm grieving myself, but I'm thinking that it's probably going to make it even more powerful for them. We've got some more school presentations that are coming up. And same thing. I know I spoke at a school a week after my son-in-law died, and it was so powerful. So I know that, you know, being vulnerable in front of teenagers, they'll get it. They'll understand.
Well, when you see somebody being vulnerable, like you're talking about, sharing your emotions, sharing some truths about things you're going through, people tend to take it more seriously. They tend to receive it and be prepared for what they're going to hear. And, I mean, hopefully this can be as powerful for others as it can be for you, because everybody grieves in different ways. But sometimes when you're with somebody that has gone through it, I've heard that that can be a bonding experience to help walk through it together.
God is good all the time.
That's right. You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. Scott Fitzsimmons talking with Melanie Materi from the Options Pregnancy Center in Regina. If people do want to find out more, how can they do that?
They can go to the website, www.reginapregnancy.com.
Once again, you were talking about this book that has come out, obviously bittersweet, like you're talking about. But tell us what the book is and what it's all about, and how people can get that.
Okay. Well, it's called Will You Go? A Journey to Emotional and Spiritual Freedom. It actually has a picture of my daughter in a kayak on the front of it. I love it. I love the cover. It's about my journey through emotional and spiritual pain, the different mountains that I've had to go over with God's help, and and that the other thing that I talk about in it, there's a lot of things of what happened at the center, and things that have happened with my family, and how God has gotten us through it. I had a book signing in PharmaSave in Fort Capel on Saturday, where my daughter works, which interestingly enough, she got held up by someone yesterday in the pharmacy who had a wanted drugs and showed her a syringe and said, I'm going to stick you with this if I don't get the drugs. So I said to her, you know, she's obviously shaken, but somebody doesn't like what's happening. And but it's been a it is bittersweet with the fact that my husband isn't here to celebrate this with me. I know he is. I know he is celebrating up there though.
Yep.
And I've got another book signing in Pass the Word in Regina tomorrow afternoon. And I am going to the Golden Rule after we finish here.
Excellent.
And I'll be dropping off a couple of books there. So
excellent.
Yeah. And another thing that just came to mind, Scott, was when my daughter lost her husband, her pastor had spoken with her and had said, you know, it says you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's exactly what I feel like I'm doing as well. I'm not staying in it. I am, but I'm walking through it. And this book is designed to help people to recognize their pain and to show how I went through it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that that you've got that here for people. And again, the Golden Rule is a great place for people to take a look and go see. If you want this book from Melanie Materi, go check with them. And if they want to find out more about the book, do you have a website that people can take a look at?
Yes. How silly of me. www.melaniematerri.com, M-E-L-O-N-Y, Materi, M-A-T-E-R-I.com. And I blog on there every 2 weeks and have some followers now. So if you're interested in reading some of the blogs, people are starting to read them now for sure after everything that's happened. So if they want to sign up to get the blogs, please do.
Well, thank you again for being here today. It's been great to have you here. Thanks for spending your time to share with us as well and opening up and being vulnerable. It really is appreciated. And it's an honor for us for having you here. So
it's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much again. Melanie Materi from the Options Pregnancy Center. Don't hesitate to check them out to reginapregnancy.com to find out more how you can help financially, how you can pray for them, and how you can see how they might be able to help you as well. That is it for us for today. Coming up next, it is the All Request Lunch. Have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.